Well, the title of my message is compassion, funnily enough. Compassion. What do we mean by the word compassion? This organization calls itself Compassion that I've been with. What does compassion mean? Compassion is ? I wonder what you think about that word. My dictionary says, a feeling of distress and pity for the suffering or misfortune of others, of another, often including the desire to alleviate it. It's a feeling, and apparently, com means with and passion means suffer. When we think of the passion of the Christ, it's the suffering of Christ, isn't it? So it really means to suffer with, to enter into the suffering of others. And it's more than just a feeling. We read about Jesus being moved with compassion when he saw the people coming to him in crowds, because he saw their great spiritual need, that they were harassed and helpless by the struggles of life, by the devil, by the enemy. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion. And he told a very well-known story that illustrates the meaning of compassion. Christine is going to read this to us, Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37. And there's going to be some pictures on the screen which might help you follow it. And these are pictures care of the Free Bible Images, good website. Okay, good, done.
Anybody guess what I'm going to read? Parable of the Good Samaritan. Okay. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, and so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Thanks very much, Christine. Thank you. Compassion is, well, here was the man in a desperate condition by the side of the road. And for him, for someone to show him compassion was crucial. The word crucial involves a final or supremely important decision or event. A crucial event is a vital event in someone's life. And it's from the Latin crux for cross, of course, the cross of Christ, which is the supremely important event in human history. So crucial, it's absolutely essential and vital. If Jesus had not died on that cross, if he'd not come from heaven and died on the cross and risen again, none of us would have any hope of being reconciled to God and eternal life. And so, for the man lying beside the road, it was crucial that someone should show him compassion. Years ago, I had an old Morris Minor car. I called it Boris the Morris. It was black. It was very good, 1955. And I used to drive home from London to Sussex, where my parents lived. And at midnight one evening, I was climbing a steep hill with double white lines, and Boris stopped. I prayed to my Heavenly Father. I opened the bonnet. I'm not a brilliant mechanic like my earthly father was. Suddenly, a brand new BMW stopped, pulled in front of me, put on his flashers, got out a tow rope, and towed me to the next roundabout where there happened to be an AA box. Now, that was years ago. You don't have any AA boxes these days. And so there was I miraculously rescued. And from the AA box, I phoned my earthly father. And he came out and he recognised the problem straight away. It was the petrol pump had got some dirt in it or something. Wasn't very serious. He got it going, and so I got home safe and dry. But for me, on that hill, double yellow line, no mobile phones in those days, it was crucial that help came. Praise God. He turned up. He sent that man, who I shall never know and never meet, perhaps. Now this lady is a young lady called Angeline, who was sponsored through Compassion. But when she discovered that her parents were drug dealers, she stopped attending the Compassion Project for fear of rejection. And at the age of 12, she was drinking alcohol and going to nightclubs. Her Compassion caseworker searched for her and invited her to a youth camp where she responded to the gospel. Her life changed, and with the help of Compassion Project, excelled in her schoolwork, became a badminton champion and learned to sing. She has since become a teacher in the project. Her father has abandoned his drug dealing because of the great change in her, and her mother has given her life to Christ. So that's an example of the intervention of God through the work of Compassion to rescue this young lady who is in desperate need. So back to this man. This man's helpless condition actually illustrates our helpless spiritual condition apart from God's grace. You see, the lawyer who came to Jesus that day had asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus asked him, "Well, what does the law say?" And he said, "Well, basically, you should love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus said. "Do this, and you will live." I wonder, have you ever, would you say that you have loved God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? Always. Would you say that you truly love your neighbor as yourself? Always. Have we really obeyed these, the greatest commandments? And the sad thing is that all of us have fallen short. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are a fallen race. We desperately need the rescue of God. None of us can stand in the presence of God on our own. We need a Saviour. We need a Redeemer. We desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ. For us, the rescue of the Lord Jesus Christ is crucial. We can't do without it. We cannot do without Jesus in our lives if we're to stand forgiven before God. Now, we may have a feeling of distress and pity for the misfortune of another, but are we willing to do what we can do to alleviate it? Well, what did the priest do? He walked by on the other side. He was probably on his way to the temple. If the man was dead, he wouldn't be able to touch the dead body without making himself unclean. The Levite also, ritually, he too didn't stop. He went by on the other side. Compassion is always challenging, isn't it? If you walk the streets of in London today, even down in where we live in Brixham, you will see people sitting in doorways, homeless people. What do you do? Well, something we can all do as Christians is to pray. We can all pray that should be always our first response. And God may direct us to say, "Yes, I need to do something here." But there are places, of course, where many people are they're beggars, and they're professional beggars. So you're always faced with that difficulty, aren't you? And compassion is always challenging. It's interesting that there's a story in the Acts of the Apostles of a man who was a beggar at the gate Beautiful outside the temple. And he'd been there for years. And I'm quite sure the Lord Jesus had passed him many times on his way to the temple. But he was still a beggar, still disabled. It was only when Peter and John went there that God used them to heal this man. Interesting, isn't it? When it comes to healing and miracles, God has his timing and his way of doing things. Jesus saw many people at the pool of Bethesda, but there was only one to whom he said, get up and walk. It's a great mystery, isn't it? But we need wisdom. And but it's always a challenging. It was a challenge for me to go on this trip. A challenge in every way. And because I did it, because I knew that God was saying, you go. You go. I knew it was so clear that he wanted me to act in that way. But compassion is also cross-cultural. Compassion challenges to reach out to people different to us. This world is full of very different people. And of course, the Jews would have no dealings with Samaritan. And yet, this was the man that showed compassion. This young man is from Rwanda. We've been writing to him, but he's also been writing to us. In a letter to Claude last year, I wrote, Christine has to go to hospital after Christmas for an operation. Please pray for her. That was last Christmas. And he wrote back, I thank you for the letter you have written to me. I've had a great Christmas. I pray hard so that God continues to protect my mom, Christine. In my family, we have had sickness, but it is solved. So this young man had compassion. He was praying for Christine. Compassion is reaching out to people different to us. And finally, here we see compassion is costly. The Samaritan, he got off his donkey, bandaged his wounds, he took him to an inn, he gave the innkeeper money so that the man might be looked after, and he was even willing to pay more money if necessary. Because compassion can be very costly. Can be very, very costly. And there are many children today who need sponsors. Here's some of them. Young ones. Getting a bit older. These are all in Rwanda. These children need sponsors. I'm sure that some of them have now found sponsors. But different ages, children need help. Maybe you would like to sponsor a child. Well, I can give you information should you wish to do so. It's a wonderful thing to do. But of course, compassion was so costly for God. God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That was costly. That was costly. The Father giving his son to be the saviour of the world, to take our sin, to pay our debt. Now that was costly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we ever loved or care about God, he reached out to us in love and grace and mercy, and he's still doing that. And Jesus described himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. After telling the story, Jesus asked the lawyer which of the three was neighbour to the man. Of course, the lawyer had to say, well, the man who had compassion on him or mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. Go and do likewise. Compassion is commanded, it's not an option for us. Love your neighbour as yourself is a command from heaven. How will you respond? Something we have to pray about. Maybe it's your neighbour who needs you. Maybe it's someone who has offended you or hurt you, who needs help. Who knows who it might be that God might be calling you? Maybe it's a child who needs a sponsor. Shall we pray? Our gracious God, we thank you that you are the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. We thank you that you know us so well. You are moved with the state of human hearts. You care about the struggles we go through as individuals. And we thank you for the way you reach out to us when we open our hearts to you. But Lord, we remember those around us and we ask that you will show us if there are any particular people to whom we must go, to whom we must reach out to. But above all, Lord, we pray that each of us may receive your forgiveness and your grace in our hearts, because we cannot love people unselfishly with a clear motive, a pure motive, without your grace. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.